Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
You know, this past week, I have thought a lot about each of you because you were on my mind, and I thought how God had given to you as a group, as individuals, free will. Sometimes this week I've been called to the bedside of someone who had free will. But free will doesn't guarantee an outcome. There are consequences to our free will. There is an old saying that was brought to mind, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. I think we ought to preach on that, because sometimes we simply cannot think about eternity away from God, and yet we do the things that we shouldn't do because we have the free will to do it. Our text today begins with Nicodemus. Nicodemus had free will. As a matter of fact, in Greek, his name means victor over the people. He was a person who came by night. Teacher of the law, Pharisee's Pharisee. One who came by night because he didn't want to be seen. How is that like today? Many of us hide, wear masks, we do all kinds of things in order that we should protect our identity. We're afraid. We have the spirit of fear. And yet God does not give us that spirit of fear. Nicodemus was like many people today. He had a set belief in what he wanted to believe in. And that's what he chose. He chose to believe in God, but on his own terms. You know, that's kind of like the people that stand behind pulpits even today. And they preach a sort of gospel, a pseudo-gospel, and a watered-down version of what God actually said. And that version of God's message leads us to do all kinds of things that are wrong. Oh, they preach it with high-sounding words, with all kinds of enthusiasm and emotionalism, market-driven ministry, all to say that there are many ways to God. And the world is hungry to hear that. They want to hear that. They want to know that there's a way to escape this world without having to walk the narrow road. They want to find that, and so they crowd into places that teach them that very thing. That was like Nicodemus. He thought that he could work his way to God. Many people believe that today, but it's just not true. You see, the people who digest that news digest anything but the good news. The good news is that what Jesus did on the cross was all we need. We need to walk that narrow road, to pick up a cross, follow our leader, to do all and still stand. We need all of these things because nothing has changed much in the world since that night when the victor over the people came to find the Savior's words. He was led by the Holy Spirit of God. That is what each of us should be led by. Not ranting and ravings from a pulpit, but by the Holy Spirit of God. Let's go before Him now in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You for this opportunity to open Your Word and to delve into the mysteries that You have there. Father, open our minds and our hearts so that we can truly hear from You. We ask You to speak to us. Cast out my words. My words are nothing. My words are the words of a simple, broken man. Father, let us hear in our own language Your Holy Spirit speak to us today. May we, like Nicodemus, come out of the darkness that we've been hiding in into the God light that You provide. May each of us leave this place today set on fire by Your Word, the living Word. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to be reading from John 3, and I'm going to read 1 through 21, and everybody said, oh, it's all right. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, we know that You are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that You do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to Him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to Him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and we testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but He who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, through Him, might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practices evil, hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Put yourself in the place of Nicodemus for a moment. He's the leader, we've just found out, of the Jews. He is the leader. His words carry weight. He is someone who people look up to. He is a man of stature. And he has risen to this lofty position because of his talent and his hard work. He believes that there is life after death, like most of the Pharisees. He has an input into the law because he's a teacher of the law. You know, there were 6,000 Pharisees in Jesus' time. They wrote the law. They wrote the Mishnah. Pharisees wrote that. The scribes wrote the Talmud. The Talmud is a commentary, a circular commentary on the law. He knew the law forwards and backwards, like many young men that followed Jesus. He knew the law because he had learned to recite it when he was a youth. You know that the first 5 books of the Bible were memorized by people who were going to schools in Jesus' day. Every young boy in Jesus' day would go to school. He would go to school until he was 12 years old, and during that time, he would memorize, place in his heart, the 5 books of the law. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night because he's afraid of what people will say, because he's afraid that he'll be seen going to this person that he has called a rabbi, this person he has acknowledged. And he feels that perhaps his presence will be an endorsement for other people to come, to see, to touch Jesus. And so he begins by addressing Jesus as rabbi or master. He wants to flatter Jesus by saying that his title comes from God because without God he couldn't do any of the things that he was doing. And so he tries to do that. But, you know, notice in the response that Jesus doesn't ask him, why have you come? He doesn't say to this victor over the people, why have you come? He goes right for the jugular, right to the point. He says, you must be born again if you're ever even going to have a chance of seeing the kingdom of heaven. You have to be born again. Well, Jesus isn't responding to that flattery. What's your reaction to what he's just said? You have to be born again. Are you someone who's thinking, oh, well, you know, I'm too old to be born again. I'm ancient. Can I climb back into my mother's womb and be born again? No. Jesus wasn't talking about natural birth. He said you had to be naturally born. You had to be born of water. That is the flesh. But there is a second birth. And he points it out. He says, you must be born of the Spirit. You must become a spiritual creature, a newborn babe, a spiritual creature in Christ Jesus. Not all of your good works can do it. Well, maybe you believe, like Nicodemus, that your good works can get you there. You know, there are lots of people in the world, Muslims and others, who believe that there's a scale, the good things and the bad things you do, and if the good things outweigh the bad things, then you'll get into heaven. That's just simply not true. If you do not believe in Jesus, you don't go there. You do have eternal life. But it is life that you must choose by your own free will to submit to God. Otherwise, you're submitting to being away from God. You must be born of water, but that's not enough. You also have to be born of spirit. And this rebirth of spirit is not a symbolic action like many of the Pharisees who had baptismals all over Jerusalem. Today, if you go to Jerusalem, there are baptisms all over the place. They would take a Gentile who wanted to become a Jew, and they would strip him of his clothing, because God is no respecter of persons. They would circumcise the man. They would shave every hair on his body, his head, everything. He would go down into the living water on one side of the baptismal. He would be immersed in that. He would come out a new person, a Jew. But you see, Jesus has more to say than that. Because Jesus is not promising a ritual. He's giving us a reality. A transformation of the old man into a new creature. Creature that doesn't think like we think. A creature that thinks only the thoughts of God. He has the mind of Christ. He doesn't think like we do. He doesn't act like we do. He is different. This new creature is different. Nicodemus says, how can these things be? Jesus answers in this way. He says, look, all of your wisdom, all of your titles, all of your education, everything that you have this authority in your voice and in your title and in your position. But none of it is the truth. You have to have at least these basic truths, or you're going nowhere. You're not going to see the kingdom of God. There's a reason that Jesus says of the Pharisees that these people are nothing but whitewashed tombs full of rotting bones. Because they live in this world. Like the Sadducees. The Pharisees were more numerous than the Sadducees. They didn't have as much power as the Sanhedrin. But they chose some of these people, some of the Pharisees, to actually sit in the Sanhedrin to rule over the people. You do not know these things. What are you going to offer those who listen to you? It's one of the things that I would like to ask pastors who stand behind pulpits all the time and preach pablum to the masses. You know, why are you doing that? Just get out of the way. If you're not going to preach God's word, go away. You're not doing any good. It says in verse 11 through 13, most assuredly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify what we have seen. You do not receive our witness. For if I have told you earthly things and you not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Jesus is telling Nicodemus, you have eyes and you don't see. You have ears and you don't hear. You have these things. These basic truths you should understand, but you're immune to them. You've had an inoculation and not the real thing. You know, we're going to do inoculations here on the 14th of August. And we're going to give everyone who can come from the time they're 8 months old to they're 18 years old free immunizations so that you get a shot of something so that you won't catch the real thing. Too many people have had a shot of Christianity so that they will not catch the full thing. This is not right. It's not what God intended. Yet Jesus knows this man. He knows Nicodemus. He knows he's a man that's puffed up with his own self-importance. He knows that the man is there in his robes and all the things that attribute to him the power and the status that he has. But Jesus has mercy on Nicodemus. In 14 and 15, Jesus uses something that Nicodemus knows and believes. You see, Nicodemus knew that the people had been disobedient when they were being led by Moses. He knew that they traveled through the snakes, and the snakes bit them and caused them to die. And they were having a huge plague of snakes. And God told Moses, you take one of those snakes and you nail it up on a cross, and when people look upon it, they will be healed. Jesus looks into the future and he says, so it will be with the Son of Man. As he is lifted up on a cross and people look at him, they will be healed. He will receive salvation and eternal life. If Nicodemus was so overwhelmed by this concept of being born again, how do you feel? Are you answering the question that Jesus asked? Are you, in fact, humbled before God? Have you asked for forgiveness of your sins? Jesus humbled the victor over the people. I wonder if he's humbled you. The encounter with Nicodemus had already borne fruit. We find that in John in chapter 7, 50 and 51. It says, well, I'll go back to 47. Then the Pharisees answered them, and are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd does not know the law is accursed. Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, does our law judge a man before he hears him and knows what he is doing? You see, when Peter was retreating, Nicodemus was stepping forth. What had driven Nicodemus to receive the Word of God was the Holy Spirit. He pointed to Jesus. Nicodemus saw the signs and the wonders, but he came to Jesus. He did come at night. I'm not making an excuse for him. But you can see that that edification process had already started, the transformation to make Nicodemus a new creature in Christ Jesus had already begun. And then Nicodemus, who sat at the trial of Jesus in the Sanhedrin, was moved by what Jesus said. The truth set Nicodemus free. And then we find that he comes with Joseph of Arimathea. He comes with 100 pounds of myrrh and alloy. They wrap Jesus' body, and he and Joseph carry the body to the tomb. God tells us of His nature. Here are the three things that God gives to everyone, to you, to me, to everyone. First, God gives His Son, Emmanuel, God with us. He gives that to us. That is the unspeakable gift. We now have God with us. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will walk with you through life. Second, He provides a way for us to get rid of our sins, to cast all of our frailties, all of our weaknesses, all of our things that burden us on Jesus. We can look upon Jesus, whom they have pierced, and receive our salvation. And third, He comes to dwell within us, to take away all the condemnation and cast it into the sea of His forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. Nicodemus had come into the light reluctantly. I'm sure the Holy Spirit was nudging him all the way. His mind let the light of God penetrate the darkness of his heart. And he became a new spirit, transforming his mind and his spirit into a newborn, new creature in Christ. You know, there's a true story that dawned on me this week that I'm going to relate to you. It's a story that took place outside of Washington, D.C. You see, back in the 1800s, people rode the train out to West Virginia in order to see the colors change. That was a day trip. They would get on the train, they would go, they were partying, whatever. And there was a man over a bridge who had the job of switching the tracks, allowing the trains to come and go. He had a young son. And the young son was playing around the tracks, and his young son got his foot caught in the tracks. The train was coming. It was on the bridge. The father had a split second to decide what to do. He could flip the switch, pull the switch down so that the tracks would not switch over and the train and all of its occupants would die. Or he could let his own son die. He chose the train, not his son. And he looked in the windows of the people as they ran over the body of his son. And they were happy and partying and doing all the things their free will allowed them to do. Never knowing, never understanding that Christ had died for them. That this boy, because of his father's duty, his responsibility to the world, allowed them to travel. I wonder if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If not, why are you hiding in the dark? If you want to know what it means to have the Holy Spirit come and give you a second birth, a new birth, you know, we toss around this phrase so often that I'm afraid it gets watered down as well. Because we call it New Birth Baptist Church, or New Birth this, or New Birth that. There was a price paid for your new birth. Jesus paid for it on the cross. He calls each of us to look upon Him who we have pierced. to repent of our sins and ask Him to forgive us. And then He offers the gates of heaven, which are open wide for any who accept Him.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.